So there's this Facebook page that I follow, and it's for foreigners living in Japan. I told my sister this the other day. So this page gives you like tips on like traveling in Japan, finding a job in Japan, like the do's and don'ts, about how to interact with Japanese people, stuff about their culture, how to build relationships. And then like there was this post that this guy made, and it was basically this guy, he says like he was asking how he can make a lot of money in Japan by doing nothing. All right, how you can make a lot of money by doing nothing. So I don't know what the context of this question was. You know, this guy was serious or not, but as you could expect, there were a lot of troll comments. But there are also some like pretty serious comments, some good ones. And then some people replied by saying that, you know, he shouldn't just be like sitting around having these unrealistic thoughts, but rather he should go and do something about it, right? He shouldn't just think about like making a lot of money by doing nothing. So in essence, like he was basically asking like, how could I get what I want without putting in the effort, right? So, for me, growing up, I kind of grew up with, because my parents kind of taught me this, was basically, like, how I work determines what I'm going to end up with, right? So, I was wondering, what if a friend, one day he came to me and was like, hey, I know a way to make a lot of money by doing nothing, okay? He's a close friend, and he's like, hey, I know a way, do you want to know? Do you want in on this? Like I thought about it. I was like, hey, would I even consider that? Right? Would I even think that's possible? No, I know he's a friend, but it sounds kind of sketchy. Would I entertain the thought, or would I begin to start doubting the way I live my life? Like maybe if I did something in the past differently, like if I took shortcuts, or if I did stuff differently, I could still end up where I am today, or even better, right? So this is kind of how the Christians were feeling in this book of 1 John. Okay, so we've already talked a lot about it, but I just want to recap because this is going to be the last sermon for this letter. So these Christians, they felt like maybe they were believing in a lie. Maybe John lied to them. Maybe Jesus, he wasn't truly the Son of God. He was just another man pretending to be God, right? Maybe Jesus, he can't really take away your sins. Or maybe, as a Christian, you don't really have to keep God's commandments. It might be nice, but you don't have to. Maybe you don't have to love your brother or your sister. It's just an option. Right? They started wondering, can I be a Christian as well as chase after all the desires in this world? The flesh, the desires of the flesh, the eyes, and going after all these accomplishments and bragging about them, right? Like, maybe it's possible to do both. I can still follow God, but I can still, chase after everything in this world. I can have both. Maybe it's possible. Right? So, these are some of the doubts that people fed the people in the church, right? And they started, doubting, do I have eternal life? Do I have eternal life? All right, so this sermon is going to be a little shorter than usual. The passage that we're going to be on isn't very long today. So I want you to focus and really pay attention to what we're going to cover today. So the passage we're going to be at is in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So if you can, please turn there with me. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 13 to 15. I know I told Vanessa 13 to 18, but I wanted to shorten it down just to 15 for today. So verses 13 to 15. So it says this, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. Okay. Do I have that here? Okay, nice. Okay. Cool. So this is, so look at verse 13 with me. This is kind of like the purpose clause, a sentence of this entire letter. I know I've been referring to it a lot, but you finally get it at like last. It's this one in verse 13. So he writes this whole letter basically saying this: I'm writing so that you can believe that in the name of the Son of God, right? So that you can have eternal life. Okay. So he addresses them as people who believe in the name of the Son of God. So he's basically saying, these are people who truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, that Jesus is holy, right? He's blameless, that he's sinless, right? Last week we talked about, you know, he sacrificed himself, right? We talked about communion. He sacrificed himself so that you can be saved from your sins, right? And that he resurrected, having victory over death. Okay. So if you believe these things, you know, then don't doubt that you have eternal life, right? And also, if you're keeping God's commandments, right? If you're loving one another, don't doubt that you have eternal life. So if someone else comes up to you otherwise and says something else, you know, don't listen to them. Don't believe them because they're lying. So, you know, if someone says you can make lots of money by doing absolutely nothing, it's not likely. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, it might be some way that I don't know, but it's unlikely. But can you have eternal life apart from Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. Then John adds something interesting in verses 14 and 15. Okay. 14 and 15. He says that not only do true Christians have assurance of eternal life, they also have confidence in their relationship with God. And in particular, John is talking about this, you know, this asking of God, and in God hearing our request, and in God answering our request, or giving us our request, okay? Giving us what we asked for. Okay? And then this is what confidence in God looks like, okay? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So growing up, I was fascinated by this concept of prayer, okay? Like this thing where I can do, and I just ask God for stuff, and he'd give it to me, or he'd do it. Like, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? So, you know, God, help me pass this test, you know, that I didn't really study for. Or, you know, God, help my sports team or something, like, at school to win, like, in this tournament. Right? That's how I would pray, right? But, you know, there was always this dilemma that bothered me. Like, what if there was, like, another Christian on the other team, and he's praying that God would help them to win, right? Then, like, who's God going to listen to? Who's God going to answer? Because there can only be one winner, right? So what happens? Who does God listen to? Or, like, you know, I've also thought about this, like, what if someone prays, like, you know, because they're going to go on an outing, so they want, like, nice weather, you know, don't let it rain, you know, because I've been planning this outing for a long time, and, like, if it rains, it's going to really suck. But then someone else is like, oh, man, it's just been so hot these few days. I just wish it would rain. It would just cool everything down, you know? Like, who's God going to listen to, right? So, sometimes my prayer would be answered, and sometimes they wouldn't. And it felt like God didn't hear my prayer. Like, so what's up with that, right? What's up with that? What's the deal with this confidence that John is talking about? So, growing up, I could probably say that I didn't have much confidence in praying, because, you know, it was just something that my parents told me to do. You know, you should just pray some more, or if you need something, or just talk to God, just pray. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll try it out. Or maybe I was just desperate, you know, like, God, I really need to pass this test. So just super desperate. So it kind of reminds me of this story in the Bible from the book of Ruth. So, you know, you just remember Ruth is this Hebrew girl. Okay. She becomes queen in Persia, all right, and And you know, there's this evil dude. His name is Haman. Right? He wants to basically. Esther. My bad. Esther. I don't know why I said Ruth. Esther. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. The book in Esther. So she's this queen, right, in Persia, and there's this evil dude Haman. He wants to basically wipe out all the Jews. He wants to because there's this guy called Mordecai, and she's Esther's uncle, and then you know, basically like Mordecai really like shamed. Well, he was doing right, he was doing good stuff, but you know, it indirectly shamed, you know, Haman. So Haman's like, I'm gonna get back at you guys. I'm gonna like kill all of you. So then Mordecai tells Esther that, and then Esther's like, oh, okay, wow. So I guess I should talk to the king about this and ask him maybe if he's going to change his mind, right? Because the king agreed to Haman that, you know, he basically gave him permission to kill all the Jews. So, you know, Esther's a Jew, her uncle's a Jew, and she cares for her people. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go talk to him. But the thing is, she can't enter into the king's presence, okay, into this inner court where the king resides. She can't enter in there without permission, okay? So, and if she does, there's a possibility that she's not going to walk out there alive. Okay, that's the rules. That's the rules. So, but she's in a really desperate situation. So she walks in, and she's not very confident, okay? And then she goes in, and she's like, I don't know if the king's going to, you know, what they did was that if the king, you know, if he extends his scepter, you know, and then, like, to you, you touch it, then you're fine. But if he doesn't, it pretty much means, like, shh. So she's, like, she's walking in, you know, she's like, I don't know if he's going to kill me or not. So we know that, you know, she survives, right? And then, you know, God through her saves the people of the Hebrews. But even though she was the queen, she didn't have much confidence, right? So I find that like, wow, man, she didn't have much confidence. But the thing is that we have confidence, okay? We can have confidence in God. Okay? When we pray according to God's will, we can have confidence in God. Okay? So we should pray confidently, right? Like, that's the title of the sermon, pray confidently. So should we now be asking God, you know, help me to win the lottery? Okay? Help me win that lottery. No, I mean, if I won the lottery, I could support a lot of missionaries, you know, with half of the money I won, right? But why is it that although John tells us that we can have confidence when we pray, like this illustration just seems kind of fishy, you know? Is that right? Is it right to do that? Is it right to ask God to win the lottery? You know, I don't know. Let's see what the other half of this verse says. So this first part was this, and this is the confidence that we can have toward him. Okay, so that's the first half. And let's look at the second half, okay, what this has to say. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So this is the condition that John gives, right? If, okay, that's the condition. So this will happen, right? We can have this, right? If we ask anything according to his will. So that's the condition. So then it begs the question then, like, what is God's will? What is God's will? I'm sure that you've probably thought about that question before. What is God's will? Simply put, the will of God is what God desires. Okay? What God desires. So from this letter, 1 John alone, we've learned a few things about what God desires, what the will of God is. One is, you know, it's very clear already, like, keep his commandments, obey his commandments. That's part of God's will. It's another thing, right? Loving one another. How does obeying God's commandments look like? Loving one another. Right? That's part of God's will. Another thing, right? Not loving the things of this world. Right? Not loving the things of this world. So, you know, these are part of God's commandments, God's will. Okay? What does God desire? What does he want from us? Okay, what does he want to happen? So growing up, you know, I don't know if you've ever you probably asked your parents for things, right? Like, you know, oh, mom, dad, I just really want this, or can I go here, please, or something like that. And then I'm sure you probably like thought about even before you asked, like, oh, like, what are they going to say? Are they going to say yes or no? Like, how confident are you in that? And sometimes, you might go and ask the parent that has the highest chance of giving you approval, that approval, right? You're like, hey, you know, dad's more nice about this, so I'm going to go ask dad, right? Because if dad says yes, then if I go and do it, then like if mom asks later, I have to say, hey, dad said it was okay, you know, something like that, or vice versa, right? But what I want you to notice is the fact that we question ourselves, right? Thinking that what we were asking might not be approved. And sometimes we realize that there's probably no point in asking because they're definitely going to say no. Right? And if this is the case, then it's, you know, it's not your parents' will. Right? It's not their will. It's not what they would want. And I want to give you an example of someone who prayed, you know, according to God's will. A very prime example. And it's always good to go and look at the life of Jesus. So I'm going to show you this. What's that? Okay, right here. I don't know. Do you guys recognize this? Right. What is this typically called? Lord's Prayer, right? Lord's Prayer. So Jesus, his disciples ask him, hey, Jesus, you know, we've been with you for, you know, a while now. Like, can you teach us how to pray? Teach us to pray like you do, right? How you talk with God. And he says like this, you know, pray then like this, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? And it finishes up with all the rest of this. So what I want you to focus on is this. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. Right? Your will be done. And what I find really like awesome and amazing is that Jesus actually, you know, he follows his own teaching. Okay? He doesn't just tell other people to do it, but he actually does it himself. So I want to show you this next passage. Thanks. Thank you. So this passage, I'm not sure if you recognize this one. You recognize this one, guys? Right, right. Can you say that a little louder? Right, Garden of Gethsemane. So this thing actually happens the same night, but like a little after the Last Supper, which we talked about last week. Right. So they had Passover meal. You know, Jesus instituted communion. You know, then you know Judas Iscariot. He heads out to betray Jesus, and then Jesus he heads out with his disciples to this garden to pray. And then Jesus, he's there, he's praying, like, and he's about to be betrayed, okay? He's about to go through intense suffering. And right before that, he prays to God, and he says, you know, he says this. Right. This is the state he's in right now. And he says to his disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. So he's like, you know, you're about to, like, be whipped. He knows what's going to happen. He's about to be, like, spit at, beat at. He's about to be, like, nailed to a cross. And, you know, when you know that's coming, like, it's not easy to be just calm. So, you know, so Jesus was like, wow, like, probably shaking, you know, like, probably, like sweating a lot. And then he prays, and he says this, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, but as you will. So he follows the way he taught his disciples how to pray. So Jesus, he gets it, right? He says that not his will, but God's will be done. Right? God hears his prayer. So to hear means to pay attention by listening. Okay? When we ask God anything according to his will, he answers. He pays attention to our prayer. Right? And then in verse 15, can we go back to 15? Thank you, yeah. In 15 it says, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have of him. So we can have confidence in God when we pray according to his will. God hears our prayers. God's going to make it happen. This is an amazing thing, okay? To know that your prayer is going to be answered. That's an amazing thing, right? But we have to remember to pray according to God's will. And this is really important. Hear me out now. More often than not, I believe that the reason why our prayers don't get answered or we don't get the requests that we ask for is because we don't pray according to God's will. We don't pray according to God's will. We pray according to our will. Right? what we want, what we want to happen, how we want God to do things. Okay. So we want, you know, a lot of times it's, we want God to satisfy our selfish desires. Okay. What we want. And can we do maybe like next slide, next one more, I think. One more. Okay, yeah. So is this familiar with you guys, this dude here? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so yeah, this is this genie, right, from Aladdin. Okay. I don't know, what's his name? Do you remember his name? Does he have a... Just genie? What? It's just genie, right? Okay, yeah. So, what do you do when you, like, rub this lamp? Sorry? He comes out, and when he comes out, like, what does he say? Basically, he's like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to grant you your wish, right? And was it three wishes? Right, three wishes, right? He's going to grant you any wish, three wishes, right? I think, there's a condition, you can't ask for more wishes or something like that, okay? But basically, like, I feel like this is how we treat prayer sometimes, how we treat God, right? We're like, God, you know, just do this for me, right? And then right here, on this side, we've seen this a lot, right? We see this everywhere. We see, and they have some really interesting vending machines in Japan. So we have vending machines, right? We put in our coins, and then we press some buttons, like D7 or something, and then we get like a candy bar or chips or Coke or whatever. And this is how we treat God. We're like, oh, put in our prayer request, boom, 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 bam, bam, bam. Thank you, God, you know, this is what I want. Give it to me. But this isn't how it works, right? This isn't how it works, as John describes. God isn't going to do something that he doesn't want to do, right? I mean, he's God, right? He makes the rules. Right? But don't get the impression that God is, like, selfish or he's arrogant, right? No, God is loving. God is good. I mean, God is God, right? Like, we're just humans. God is God. So during my last semester in seminary, I took this class with a professor. He taught youth ministry, and he was going through a really rough time. His knees were really bad at that time, so they would, like, he couldn't stand up for very long, and his knees would, you know, sometimes start to hurt. They would swell, and he had to sit down, and then it got really bad, so he had to go for surgery. Okay, so he went for knee surgery, and I think they put, like, plates or something, like metal, like into his knee, and it was really painful. He actually couldn't come to class, like, for, you know, a few weeks. So he would, like, you know, he would be at home, and then he'd, like, kind of like video conference into the class, and he teaches that way, and then he just let us know, like, man, he's in a lot of pain, and he's on, like, a lot of medication, a lot of painkillers just to, you know, numb that pain. And And then I would hear the way he would pray in class. And when he prayed, he didn't complain. Right? He didn't blame God. Right? But instead, he asked that somehow, you know, God, would you be glorified in this situation? Somehow would your purpose, would your plan, you know, be accomplished, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's, for him, it was to rely on God more as his strength, as his comfort, you know, knowing that good health or being able to even walk, you know, even to have your legs function, you know, it comes from God, right? Just realizing that, you know, whatever, like, God wants to teach him at that time, he was like, God, you know, I'm open to that. And, like, when I thought about that, I was like, man, this guy's going through a lot of pain right now. You know, like, he even has trouble sleeping at night, and he's on a lot of meds. You know, he can't really work well, you know, teaching the class because he's, you know, in a lot of pain. And yet he's praying in this way. And I was really kind of just lost for words in class. I was just sitting there thinking about that. I was like, wow. Like, he, you know, Like, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And it made me to think about, like, how similar it was to the way that Jesus prayed. That, you know, God, like, you know, if there's another way, you know, like, you know, take this cup away from me. If there's another way, but not my will, your will. Right? My professor, he would say, you know, God, if you know, if you could lessen the pain, if you that would be really good. But if the pain isn't lessened, that's okay. You know, your will be done. Your will be done. Now, I believe that as we grow spiritually, as we mature, our desires come closer in line with God's will. Okay, they come closer in alignment. Right? My professor, you know, he's a lot older than me. He's probably been a Christian for longer than I've been alive. Okay, he's had many, many more opportunities to experience God's you know, answering of prayers. Okay, he's gone through a lot more. He's been able to see God work in his life, in his surroundings, in other people's lives. He's been able to see that. And when I heard him pray, I didn't sense any doubt or any fear in his prayer. I saw that he was confident that God is going to answer it, that God is going to answer it. But we have to start somewhere, right? And first, the first place where we're going to start is this. I believe it's this. We have to know, right, the will of God. We can't pray according to God's will if we don't know what God's will is, right? I think I've already been, like, saying this point a lot of times, and I don't want to, like, say, like, over, you know, say it too much. But we have to know God's will. And basically, we have to know what he desires. Right? What does God want? What does God want? How does God work? Right? What does he want from us? How does he want us to live? Okay? So, like, maybe, you know, right, so, and then secondly, we have to start praying, okay? We actually have to start praying, okay? And when we pray, pray according to God's will. So maybe you can even start saying, you know, in your prayers, you know, God, not my will, but your will be done. Maybe you can start adding that to your prayer. But don't treat it like a magical phrase, okay? Because it's not a magical phrase. It's not going to make your prayers come true or anything like that, okay? It's not like, you know, open sesame or something. It's not going to make the doors open. But when you say it, this is what it is. It's recognizing who God is. Okay, that God is the one who answers prayers. Okay, and when we say this, we need to say it with a correct understanding, and it changes our attitude. The way it actually changes how we think, how we live. But God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want. Okay, or maybe even the timing. God is God. He has his plans. He has his purpose. Okay. We don't always understand. I don't understand, like, sometimes what goes on. Okay. But I believe that the Bible is very clear that we can trust in him. Okay. We can trust in him. Right? You might have been asking something for 1 year, 2 years. It might even be according to his will. But he might not, you know, answer it in that time or even in that way, the way that you're expecting. Okay. So, but the thing is this. I believe that as we pray, as we practice in this way, okay, according to God's will, we'll notice that our prayers will slowly change. Okay? It'll slowly change. And I'll give you a few examples. For example, it'll change from asking God to give you, you know, an A on a test. Okay? It'll change from that to you asking God to help, you know, give you diligence, okay? To give you wisdom, to help you, you know, steward your time better, okay? I think it will change that way. It will change from, you know, you asking God, oh, God, bring that someone special into my life, you know? Bring that someone special. And instead, it will change from that to this. God, help me to make the most out of my singleness. Okay? Help me to use this time that I have as a single, you know, to serve you wholeheartedly, okay, with joy. Right? God, help make me into a more mature Christian, right, who loves you, you know, so that I can be someone that, you know, that I can be the type of person that I would want to be with, you know, in a sense, okay? And it's going to change, you know, from asking God to make your children behave better, okay, if you have children. Right? It's going to change from that to asking God to help you to be a parent who fears the Lord. you're going to ask God to, you know, God, help me to be a better parent. So, you know, your prayers will change in this way as you know God more, okay? It's going to change the way you pray. So I invite you, as you begin to pray, do it this way. See what happens. Give it a shot. Give it a go. See what God's going to do, okay? And for those of you who are already doing so, you know, I want to encourage you to keep on doing it. You know, good for you. Good for you. And I'm sure you probably have, you know, stories. You probably have testimonies of things that God's done, answered prayers. So, you know, and as these things happen, I invite you to maybe write them down, record them. Like, I know some people, they do this. They have, like, a notebook, and they'll write the date of when they made a request the first time. And then on the side, they'll write the date of when it was answered. And then they can kind of see that. Right? They can see that. And then I want to end with this. So John Stott, he's a recognized theologian. He wrote this. Can we go? Maybe. Yeah, this one. Cool. So it's this, right? Prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or for bending his will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer is a variation of the theme, your will be done. So I'm just going to give you guys to look at this one more time, because I think this is like a pretty good summary of what we've been talking about. Not our will, but God's will. Every time we pray, you know, it's some variation of that. It should be some variation of that. Okay. And with that, no, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Lord, just being an amazing, awesome God. We recognize you as the one who has a plan and a purpose for our life, right? And you are in control, Lord. You are sovereign. We don't understand how a lot of things work. There's a lot of mystery. We don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or much less, you know, 5 years from now. But we know that we can trust you, that you are faithful. We know that you are a good God. You are a loving God. And as we pray, Lord, as we make requests to you, would it be in your will? Would we pray according to your will? That help us to know you more, Lord, through your word, that we would know what you desire. Right, and help us to align our lives, our desires, or with yours, that every time that, you know, that we make a prayer, that we make decisions, Lord, that we would, you know, that it would be aligned to you. Lord, we know that you are the one who answers prayers. Lord, you are the one who keeps your promises. Lord, and this is your promise to us, Lord, and we believe it. Lord, and you know, as we pray to you, Lord, as we spend this time with you, would moments be sweet, and we would become to grow and mature and to love this time with you, God. All right, pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Phil.